All right, today I'm going to start a new series, and I have a text coming from the book of Genesis, first chapter 28. And if you have the Bible with you, please turn to Genesis chapter 28. I'll read from verse 10 to verse 17. All right, Genesis chapter 28, reading from verse 10. And then I'll go through to verse 17. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. And then so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his bed, at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And then he dreamed, and he behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God was ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your descendant. Also your descendant shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done all that I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And another translation says that I am not aware of it. And he said, and he was afraid and said, how awesome in this place. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And then the next text is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 6. And then I'll skip and go to verse 27. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of stranger. And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And verse 27, I skip, go to verse 27, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I repeat, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then the last text is taken from Luke chapter 18. I'll read from just one verse, verse 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 18. Here it says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Another translation says, therefore, pay attention to what you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. That ends the reading. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for the different portions of the different texts of the scripture that we are reading. And Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to understand what you are saying and what you are teaching through your scripture. And I pray that you'll give us the increased hunger and thirst for your word and grant us more understanding. And Lord, this morning is going to be a very practical subject, so I pray that you help us to understand. And Lord, anoint my lips to speak your word with clarity, and anoint the ears and the hearts of the people that they will be receptive and they'll be open and that they will apply what they hear. So Holy Spirit, come and illuminate this word for us and increase our hearing ability, that we, Lord, will come to hear with clarity, Lord, what you are speaking in terms of guidance in our life. So we commit our life to you. Lord, we commit this session to you, this sermon to you, and Christ be glorified. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, if you can remember, in my last series of sermon, I mentioned that there are six stages in your faith, faith journey. And stage one is what I call recognizing God and His voice. Now, in that sermon, I also mentioned that after finishing that series, I'm going to speak on the subject of recognizing God's voice. And so today, I'm going to start a new series called Learning to Hear God's Voice. Learning to Hear God's Voice. And part one will be only an introduction. And the subject is regarding the principle of hearing God's voice. Very important to know what are the principles of hearing God's voice before you even learn how to hear God's voice. And so this is going to be a very practical subject for all Christians, young and matured. And even for those matured Christians, we can all learn to grow deeper in this area. And as I said, this is because there are different levels of progression, different levels of hearing God's voice. And this is going to be a very useful subject for all, because as we go through life, we encounter many important decisions pertaining to study, pertaining to career, prospective life partner, marriage, business venture, many life decisions, ministry, as well as spiritual decisions, etc. And so if you want good outcome in life, we as a Christian can turn to God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-wise for guidance and to find out what His will and His guidance. And so number one, it is very important or vital to learn how to hear from God for guidance. Now, the fact is that many of us are quite lost. We struggle in this area because we don't know how to hear from God. Countless lives have plunged into misery because of wrong decisions about study, career, business, or even life partners, etc. And so if we know how to hear His voice and obey Him, it will save us ourselves from lots of trouble. Problems save us from problems and dire consequences resulting from bad decisions. If we hear and we obey, we will make many right decisions and have good outcome. Now, many of us out of ignorance, or some of us out of ignorance, have resorted to what I call Bible gambling. It means you roll a dice, or many, many more, randomly turn to a page or a verse in the Bible and say that is a verse that God has for me. Now, what if it lands on a scripture that says that Judas hung himself? Now, it can't be so, right? It can't be so, because committing suicide is self-murder. So it is not scripture. Now, while for others, they would rather run to a prophet and pressure him for a word just for the sake of getting a word from the Lord, when there is no word from the Lord yet. Now, so if you are not careful and you insist on your way, and it can become a divination. Therefore, hearing from God's voice and knowing His will is vital. And so how do we hear God's voice? How do we develop this hearing sensitivity and discern God's voice? How do we know that it is His will, and how does God lead us? Now, all these various questions will be covered in this series. Now, often God is speaking and He's telling you what to do, where to go, and how to conduct yourself or wait for His leading. Now, He's ready to give you those instructions about studies, career, ministry, marriage, if we seek Him diligently and sincerely. Right. So, however, His instruction would not do you any good if you don't know how to discern His will and His voice. And John chapter 10, verse 27, we just read, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." And therefore, we as the sheep, right, as the sheep, not lambs, are supposed to hear God's voice. Now, notice that the Bible says that His sheep hear His voice, not lambs. Now, many of us are still lambs, young lambs, not sheep yet. And so, training is needed to develop our hearing ability and grow in maturity to hear God's voice. And there are also many reasons why many don't quite hear him. The Bible put it this way. Many have ears, but they don't hear. And some people say many have ears, but they don't listen. Even though they hear, but they don't listen. And this is taken from Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Now why? Because of two main reasons. Because number one, they don't pay attention what they hear. They don't take heed what they hear. And that is from Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And then the second reason is they don't take heed how they hear. This is taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Now, Luke 8, verse 18, put it this way. I read the New Life Translation. And so it says, so pay attention to what you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. And so this is a very important teaching. And so there are some general principles of hearing. And so we need to know what are the principles so that we will be given or we will increase in our hearing and listening ability. Because if you don't do those things, then what you have will also be taken away from you. And so number one, general principle of hearing, take heed of what you hear. Now, although God is speaking, His voice isn't the only one that you can hear. Now, I best illustrate through the story of Peter from Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 to verse 23. And this is quite a well-known passage. I don't have to read it. But essentially, in that story, Jesus was asking Peter, whom do you say that I am? And then the next moment, God the Father in heaven was actually speaking directly into the mind of Peter. And then Peter then replied, Jesus saying, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus then answered and affirmed Peter. He says that, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then, strange enough, immediately after, Jesus told his disciple that he was going to suffer, be killed, and then raised on the third day. And then Peter responded by saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. And then Jesus then turned and said to Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And so Jesus discerned Peter's utterance. That particular utterance actually came from the thought that was implanted by Satan himself. And so from this story, we could conclude that all the thoughts in our mind can come from three sources. It can come from God, it can come from Satan, and it can come from ourselves. And so these different voices often sound the same to us. Now I liken it unto a radio receiver. And there are many broadcasting stations out there, but only one station is of God. And Satan also has many distracting voices or stations trying to drown out God's voice in our life. And so in fact, the world makes it very easy for us to fill our ears with all kinds of things that try to push out God's voice, or rather push it far into the background of our lives. So which station have been tuned into? Is it the worldly radio station, or the TV station, or the newspaper, internet, movies, and all those things, etc.? Or is it God's word? And so the problem is not really the transmitter, because God is transmitting the information. The problem is the receiver. And so which station are you tuned into most often? Now the devil, our enemy, of course, tried to distract and to imitate God's voice. But we must learn how to discern God's voice from the stranger. And whether they are coming from God, our enemy, or ourselves. And generally, the more you feed your soul with God's word, by hearing, by reading, by meditating, the more you are in tune with God's voice. I repeat, generally, the more you feed your soul with God's word, by hearing, by reading, by meditating, the more you are in tune with God's voice. Now, further details about how to discern between the two voices will be covered in subsequent sermon. But for today, the introductory session, it is appropriate for me to cover the details regarding the general principle of hearing God's voice. And so I go to another area called the general principle of hearing, emphasizing the verse, take heed how you hear. Previously, I mentioned about what you hear, but now I'm going to emphasize the principle of how you hear. And there are seven of them. And so, number one, the attitude, number one, of maintaining a constant awareness of God's presence. Now, often we feel that God is far away from us, but this is not based on the truth. Because there are three verses that I'm trying to use to substantiate my point. And number one, Acts 17. And Paul was perturbed by the pagans when he visited the city of Athens. And they had this altar inscriptions that says, to the unknown God. And so Apostle Paul then proclaimed a message to this city that's full of philosophers. And he said in Acts chapter 17 from verse 26, he says, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the allotted period and the boundaries of the dwelling places, and that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him. And say, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And notice what Paul was trying to say here. He says, God is not far away from every person on earth. There's another story about Jacob that we just read, taken from Genesis 28. And Jacob was traveling from Beersheba towards Haran. And along the way, at sunset, he simply slept at a certain place. And then he had a supernatural dream of a stairway between heaven and earth, and with the angels ascending and descending on this stairway. And then God spoke to him, and in a dream, promising him about a future, about his future. And so after this, Jacob woke up and declared, surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. And how awesome is this place? Now, this is none other than the house of God, the gate to heaven. What turns an ordinary place into an awesome place of God? Simply one thing, awareness of God. And so Jacob woke up to the reality of God's presence right where he was. And then the third verse, or the third passage, is taken from Psalm 139, the famous Psalms about God's presence everywhere. And the psalmist asks a question, where can I flee from God's presence? He says that if I ascend to heaven, God is there. If I descend into the underworld, God is there. And if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there, God. And so, in other words, the psalmist says that God is everywhere and He is all presence. And yes, God is all around us, everywhere, every moment. And so the main problem is not the lack of God's presence. We simply lack the awareness of God. And hence, we need to raise our awareness of God's presence to hear better from Him. And there is actually a classic book written by Brother Lawrence, called The Practice of the Presence of God. And he said in the book that every moment, every mundane task can be sacred when done with devotion, and can be an opportunity to connect with God. And Brother Lawrence actually worked in the kitchen, and so he learned to connect with God in everyday chore while doing his routine activity of working. Now, he emphasized that you being in the church or praying formally are not the only means to be with God or to connect with God. In fact, you can connect with God while washing your dishes or while you're cooking. And so he's talking about cultivating an habitual awareness of God. And in the process of doing so, and you may get distracted many times if you try to practice this, but you just need to keep trying until it becomes a second nature. And so Brother Lawrence advocates not to focus on the extraordinary phenomena of finding God, but you can also find and connect with God in the ordinary. And so you have to adopt the idea of continual prayer, right? Mental dialogue anytime and anywhere with God. Not just set time of formal prayer, but an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day. And so the key phrase here is an ongoing mental dialogue with God. Now, is this scripture? It is scripture because this aligns with the Bible instruction that says, pray without ceasing. And so the practice is not only reserved for pastors or leaders, but is attainable by anyone. And so you begin every day by seeking His guidance, reinforcing the mindset of constant awareness of God and an ongoing dialogue with God. And so God has an interest in your life, because Psalms 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in His way. And so God wants to be our light, to be our guide. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? So God wants to be your guide and your shepherd. And there is no other best guide than God Himself. So remember the principle number one, the attitude of a constant awareness of God. Number two, attitude of being still before God. And so besides learning to practice the constant awareness of God during your routine hour, you need to set aside some private time with God in a solitary place to pray. Now, it is one of the reasons why Jesus went often to the desert or the mountain or the wilderness in a solitary place to pray. Now, if you are not prepared to give God our time or your time and attention, you cannot expect to hear from Him. And so you need to adopt the posture to be still before God and learn to listen on purpose. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Now, urban and modern living have produced generations of people generally very restless. And we cannot keep still, we cannot sit still, and we want to have motion and activity in our life to give us a sense of progress. So our flesh always wants to be active, to be doing something. Now, urban life style has conditioned us to operate this way with many distractions. We are engrossed with so many things on the internet, on the social media, and on the chat group. And also in our conversation with God, most prefer to come to God with a shopping list. We pray, we talk 100%, almost 100% of the time and expect God to listen. And when we are done with telling God our shopping list, we just end our prayer. We hardly take time to be still and to be silent before God, to listen and to hear His voice. Now, we complain, of course, that we don't hear from Him. The truth is we hardly or never take time to listen to God. Now, having said that, don't expect to hear God when you are silent before Him initially, during the initial period, because it takes some period of time to progressively recognize His voice. And so you need to practice silence more often in your prayer. And God wants your undivided attention when you come to Him in prayer. And this posture of being still before God must be developed by constant practice. And then the third is the attitude of patience. After God has spoken some words of promise, it is not uncommon for him to lead us into a period of waiting regarding the promise. Now, God may not fulfill your request right away, but He will do so in due time, in His time, not early, not late. And so during that period of silence, what message can He possibly be saying? Wait. Learn to wait. And we have a tendency to hurry God to get what we want. And during the waiting, we often try to prematurely engineer solution to fulfill God's purpose. Now, however, impatience is a costly enemy. And there are at least two examples of this in the Bible. The first example is regarding Abraham. And God spoke to him, promising him a son. And after a few years of waiting, Abraham and his wife Sarah were getting impatient. And they tried to help God to fulfill the promise of having a son. And through their maidservant Hagar. And as a result, Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. And he became the forefather of the Arab nations. And then later, the promised son came. And Sarah was conceived and gave birth to Isaac. And he became the forefather of Israel. And because of this, the family feud and the hostility between Israel and the Arab nations remain unresolved until today. And so, example number two, Moses. Moses had the call of God to deliver his people from slavery. Then because of impatience, before the appointed time, Moses tried to take up this role by defending a Hebrew from an Egyptian bully. And as a result, he accidentally killed this Egyptian. And fearing for his life, Moses had to flee to Midian to escape Pharaoh's wrath. And God had to train Moses for the next 40 years before getting him ready to lead the nation of Israel from slavery. And so waiting on the Lord is very important virtue. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." And then come attitude number four, complete hearing, not selective hearing. In hearing God's voice and instruction, we must not have selective hearing. If we are not willing to hear in one area, it may render us not or unable to hear in another area. And sometimes, for things that we don't like to hear, we turn a deaf ear. Or we feign ignorance to what the Lord is clearly saying to us. So for example, there was a lady asked by the Lord to resolve her unforgiveness issue. And she was not willing to do so. So when she sought the Lord for something else, God reminded her in her thought, reminded her to sort out the first issue first, before God will respond to her second request. And so for many, they sometimes wonder why they can't hear God's voice for so long. In reality, they have not responded to something that they have heard from the Lord earlier. So a very important principle. Complete hearing and not selective hearing. And then come attitude number five. Attitude of obedience. Now if you want to hear from God, we have to hearken everything. Lock, stock and barrel. Hearken, an old English word, means hear and obey. That's the meaning of hearken. Hear and obey. And so we can't approach God and say, this I like, I will hear. This I don't like, I pretend not to hear. Or even if I hear, I don't want to obey. And if you do that too often, God will simply not speak to you more. And so if you want to hear more, you have to hear and obey everything He says. Now, having heard what God says, we have to do the walking, means the obeying. Because obedience sharpens our fellowship with Him and hearing from Him. No point for God to keep speaking if you are not listening. Very important principle. No point for God to keep speaking if you are not obeying. And then comes attitude number 6, an attitude of simple trust. One step at a time. And because God often instructs and reveals to you one thing at a time, or one step at a time. Not all the steps ahead of you that's involved. But many of us want to know all the steps in advance. Note also that the next step may seem to be unrelated to what you are asking now. But nevertheless, follow. Because one thing will lead to another. The first thing may be unrelated to what you are asking for or what you're seeking. But as you take the first step can lead to a second step and third step and eventually leads to what you are seeking after. And so remember, God leads you one step at a time. Just like driving a car in a dark road where there's no street light. You can only see 10 or 15 meters ahead of you with your headlight. But as you drive forward, as you take the step, you drive the first 10 meters, then you will begin to see the next 10 meters. This is the same way that God leads you. As you take steps to obey, then God will reveal the next steps. And then come to the last one, attitude of being open and not fixated on the ways that God speaks to you. And so we must not have some preconceived idea, right, as to how God speaks to us. And let me best illustrate it with a story of a Morse code company looking for an employee. Now, in the early days of communication in the United States, a Morse code company actually advertised or placed an advertisement looking for a Morse code transmitter. And so many of these Morse code transmitters came to the reception area waiting to be called for an interview. And there was a signage in the lobby of the reception area that says, "Wait until you are called." And so all these candidates were expecting somebody to come out, call their name, and then instruct them to go into an interview room. And as they waited restlessly, all they could hear was there were two different types of tapping sound coming from the door of a room. Different signal coming out from the room. And very soon, more and more candidates came to the lobby, waiting to be called. And still no official came out to attend to them. And then a young man came in. A young man, of course, he was the candidate. And then shortly after, he went into the interview room, and then the rest were very puzzled, and they were very angry. And so they said to one another, "We came in first and been waiting for ages. And he's so presumptuous. Who gave him the right to jump the queue to be interviewed first?" And while they were grumbling and complaining, the young man came out of the office smiling and exclaiming, "I got the job, I got the job." Now you see, as they were waiting outside, the machine was actually tapping the Morse code message. If you can understand this, come on in. Everybody heard the tapping sound, the two types of signal coming out from the room. But only one person has a discerning posture and had no preconceived idea of how he would be called up for an interview. And so he was alert enough to discern the message coming through that says, "If you understand this, come on in." And Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Do we have some preconceived idea of God, of how God speaks to us? Now, it does not have to be a booming voice. Boom! Right? It does not have to be that. Or something very dramatic. Thunder and lightning, so on and so forth. Or bright light, so to speak. It does not have to be that way. God speaks to us in so many different ways. Many of which are ordinary. I want to emphasize. Many of which are ordinary, not dramatic. God may have spoken, but we do not hear because we expect to hear him through only one way, your preconceived idea. Just like the story of the Morse code story that I illustrated moments ago. And so come to the conclusion. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that God continually communicate and reveal himself to his people in many, many ways. Men and women throughout the Bible hears God's voice. Similarly, we can hear his voice. And so there is this deep hunger in each one of us to know God and to communicate with him. And let us remember that God is ever present, waiting for us to tune in to hear his voice. Because the Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not only the sheep hear his voice, they need to follow and obey him. And so the more we adopt this seventh principle of hearing, the more clearly we will recognize his voice and guidance. May we seek him with an open heart, trusting the Lord will lead us in truth, wisdom, that we will attain good outcome in our life. And so as we grow in faith, learning to hear God's voice is more about cultivating a deep, dynamic, and a daily relationship with him. Let us commit to know him more and to follow him, to follow his voice with confidence and faith. And so more sermons to come on this series. The Lord bless you. Amen.